This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Arvind Raj.
And Audrey Raj.
We are talking, or rather asking you, what is your company doing to become more eco-friendly? And if you don't know the answer to that, what are you doing to become more eco-friendly? I've bought myself a reusable straw with the cleaning brush and the carrying case and everything. And I've forgotten it today. Aren't I a genius?
See, how do you bring the straw with you? That's another thing.
I've got I've got a little bag for it. But that's the problem.
Yeah, so how do you carry it?
Well, what do you mean, how do I carry it? In my hand, normally.
If you but then you're using one hand. Like, how do you, is it like in your pocket? It's too, how do you fit a straw in your pocket?
I have been struggling with this as an issue, right?
That's
so
the thing.
I'm like, do I carry a little satchel kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't want to wear a bum bag, you know, whatever you call them, fanny pack.
Then I'd look like
Chuang, and I don't want to do that.
Oh.
You know, I say this to him all the time, but you know, this is an issue I need to address.
Yeah,
it's fashion as well, right?
Kind of.
Yeah. Anyway, we've had feedback. Let's go to Twitter. Arv, what have you got?
This comes from Nia, who says, we ran a 6-month waste segregation competition in the office, hoping to drive behavior change. It sort of worked, but not great results.
Mm. But it's a start.
It is a start.
Yeah.
Hold another one, perhaps.
Gamifying going green.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, so you give them like rewards.
Yeah.
But then people are not being genuine. That's the thing.
How do you mean?
I mean, if you gamify it.
I mean, they genuinely want to win.
They might.
Not quite the same, though, is it? You know.
I mean, if you tell
we
people
know how
like,
competitive you are.
Yeah. You need to recycle like X amount of things by the end of the week. Then they're not doing because they understand the impact of recycling.
They just go out and buy more. You know.
Yeah. So they'll consume more stuff with plastic in it to recycle by the end of the week, which is counterproductive.
It's funny you should say that because I went to buy some coffee the other day from a small little pop-up store. In town, and he brought it to me with the plastic lid on top, and I said, I don't want the plastic lid, you know, you can take that back and you know, clean it and use it. And all he did was take off the plastic lid and just throw it straight in the bin.
Oh. Yeah, see?
And I was like,
this is why you don't want it.
Don't do that. You know, the whole point is that you save it for somebody. Anyway, but that's the kind of mentality that I see a lot of, though.
Yeah, there's no understanding.
No. Right, story number three then, how San Francisco might ban facial recognition.
Yeah, so this is interesting because we've been talking about like facial recognition and how China's like sort of adopted it wholesale. Like, you know, it's everything in their surveillance system and stuff. They're using facial recognition like left, right, and center. It's being upgraded. Like almost every week, we have a new story of how they have some new facial recognition tech that they're using to sort of promote safety in their country and stuff. But in the US, especially in places, especially San Francisco, they are on track to become the first one in the US to ban the use of facial recognition by police and other city agencies as the technology creeps increasingly into daily life. So it's reflecting a growing backlash against the technology that's creeping into airports, motor vehicle departments, stores, stadiums, and home security systems. So basically, government agencies around the US have used the technology for more than a decade, for about 10 years. They say that it sort of plateaued in 2017, so a couple of years ago now. And they use it to scan databases for suspects and to prevent identity fraud. And recent advances in AI, especially artificial intelligence, have created more sophisticated computer vision tools, making it easier for police to pinpoint a missing child or a protester in a moving crowd, or for retailers to analyze like shoppers, like facial recognition and, you know, like facial identity and age and likings and stuff, which we've spoken about. So some of it is quite innovative. Some of it is used to help people. If you have like a missing child case, facial recognition helps a lot, especially to scan crowded places like train stations and even places like that have a lot of like bus stops and stuff, bus terminals, things like that. Supermarkets, shopping malls. But even giant companies and like tech giants like Microsoft, they are saying they have urged lawmakers to set limits on the technology, warning that leaving it unchecked could enable an oppressive dystopia reminiscent of George Orwell's 1984.
Wow.
Yeah.
Zero to 100 very fast there.
Yeah. There's escalation. So there's something about this technology that really sets the hairs on the back of people's heads up. And without regulation, people who have never been arrested could be part of virtual police lineups without their knowledge. So even if you have like driver's license databases, now the police have, if they're able to tap into that system, then they have your face in their records for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. So because of all this, they're saying that San Francisco might adopt a ban. And if they do it, then other cities, states, or even U.S. Congress could follow. And it would restrict how businesses analyze the faces, the emotions, and the gaits of the unsuspecting public. A ban in San Francisco, which is the most technologically advanced city in the country, in the U.S., would send a warning to other police departments thinking of trying out imperfect technology. So they're saying that unless you have a surefire way of guaranteeing that the tech is safe and that the data isn't leaking or they're not using or they're not abusing the data in any way, then this could be something that the US adopts like in more and more states, which is interesting.
Wasn't there a piece of news recently as well about how a large percentage of people that have been arrested using facial recognition technology in the US and Europe, I think, as well, have been proven innocent? They're not the right people.
Yeah.
They just look like someone
who is... somebody else.
Yeah. Also, there's a sort of like racial profiling that right. happens also because they say that the tech often misfires because studies have shown that there are huge like error rates in facial analysis systems built by Amazon, IBM and Microsoft where there were far higher for dark-skinned women than lighter-skinned men. So it sort of misfires when it comes to darker-skinned people and it's more accurate when it comes to lighter-skinned men, which is,
oh dear.
You know, they're not sure if it's the tech or the machine learning or the kind of data that they're feeding into the system itself.
That's the same issues faced by the facial recognition programs used in airports.
Is it?
Yeah, same thing as well.
I wonder if it's because of the data that they're feeding in there. Because, I mean, let's be honest, there are a lot more dark-skinned people on criminal records in the US than there are light-skinned.
Which is a huge problem for them.
Which is a huge problem, right? And I'm guessing that they're using that information from that database to feed... They'd have to,
the machine,
right?
Yeah.
Because they
but
already
wouldn't
have
that help strengthen the machine learning for dark-skinned people?
Well, logically, right? You'd think so, right?
I think then the machine becomes more aware. Like, it has, like, you know, one of its biggest data sets is dark-skinned person. Mm. So the moment it sees dark-skinned people in the crowd that it's scanning, then it immediately fetches all the faces of everyone that it even remotely suspects. Oof. And there are people who look like each other. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can... Even you looking at someone, you could mistake someone for someone else that you don't exactly know. You might have met like maybe 10 years ago, then you mistake them for someone else that you hadn't met 10 years ago. And
What's he talking about?
You know what I mean?
Sounds as though it's coming from a personal experience.
I don't want to go into that, but you know, wrong people that I waved at and stuff.
I did that the other day in the supermarket.
Yeah, you see, so the machine is working completely on data. It has like, so if it matches someone to someone who isn't in the system, then that person gets wrongly sort of like picked up for no reason.
It was that moment of walking out and realizing that I hadn't got my glasses on or my contacts in when I'm waving at somebody in the supermarket and I'm, as you get closer, you're like, hey, you're not that person. Are you?
How are you?
How's your day going today? Anyway, scary though. I mean, China telling us how accurate their systems are and how they can pinpoint somebody in a 50,000 strong crowd and all of that kind of stuff. And it makes you question whether or not what they're telling us is actually accurate as well, you know?
I think it is, kind of. I've always said that they have a way of working their tech in a way that's more accurate than the rest of the world at the moment. So I think they are. I just think that other places like the US and stuff have not used the tech enough to know what's right and what's wrong. Also, China has a huge population. So they have a massive like test bed to perfect the technology with. The US doesn't.
Right.
I mean, they do, but not as big as China is what I'm saying.
Time for us to wrap up, folks. We've had a lovely little show today. Thank you very much for all of your tweets and your messages. If you'd like to continue the conversation, the tweet will still be up. The question will still be over on Instagram. You can still feedback as well. 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We'll quickly run through the stories we covered, just in case you missed any part of this show.
So the first one, of course, was the newest Silicon Valley perk, which is your own personal carbon footprint offset.
We then moved on to how H&M are losing millennial customers in both Malaysia and Singapore.
And then we finished with how San Francisco might ban facial recognition.
We do actually have one WhatsApp, though, that Audrey
wants
to quickly address.
One last message. This is from Kim Ming, who says, I am still going around in my 1997 t-shirts. Am I green or am I a dinosaur?
There's nothing wrong with that at all. I've got a couple of those.
I'd say green.
Yeah.
Right, time for us to wrap up. Don't forget, you can listen back to the podcast. It will be available a little bit later on. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. The guys spoke with Ambassador Laplanche, who is the ambassador of France, about the bilateral relations between Malaysia and France, including the current status of dialogue between France and palm oil producing countries. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury on behalf of Audrey Raj and Arvind Yuvaraj. Will be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon for Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.